Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the Best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Well, before the season even started, this particular season, and we talked about, okay, can Jackson Dart save Brian Daboll's job? And we all thought, you know, if he played well and he brought some energy to the team and the team looked competitive, without question, I think we all thought that that could have been the case, especially after they beat Philadelphia in that Thursday night game. They come back, they collapse against Denver, they go out and they get hammered by Philadelphia again, and then yesterday it was a bunch of backups for the 49ers who were beaten, really the Giant backups. It was, it was injury central yesterday, except for Christian McCaffrey and Mac Jones. So, I've sat here for a long time, and we know when the winds of change are in the air. We know it, and it's an unfortunate thing to talk about, but you have to talk about it. I mean, Giant fans are just absolutely at a breaking point now, I believe, when it comes to the coaching staff and it comes to the GM staff. It is. I mean, you can feel it. You know it. I know it. We've been around here for a long time. We know when they start flying planes around the stadium and they start, booing the team off the field, and there's more fans from the other team than there are your team, and people are selling tickets and sponsorships are going by the wayside and nobody's re-upping for season tickets next year. This is when moves are made. And the Giant fan base, the collective mob that is the Giant fan base, is speaking loud and clear about what they want for this team. I mean, because, you know, for the guys who have season tickets that actually go to these games, and I have a number of friends that do this, you know, the amount of just absolute disdain and disgust and embarrassment that they have for their team is evident to me every single text that they send me. And it's only gotten worse since the fourth quarter of that Denver game, because these last, what did you say, two games in one quarter, that there is no fight on the defense. None. I mean, it is just basically a sieve. There's only one team in the league whose defense is worse, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals, and they've given up more points than the Giants have.
Yeah, I mean, even this little burst in the middle of the season for the Giants wasn't enough for the Giant fan to go to this game and keep their tickets for this game. And I understand if things would have worked out differently in Denver, they didn't get killed by Philadelphia, maybe they don't sell that ticket, but those things happened. And, you know, this regime's got some positive things on the resume, but just not enough wins. I mean, it's just once again, we're sitting here at 2-7. So, yeah, the Malik Nabers pick, unfortunately, is hurt, looked like a great one. The Jackson Dart pick looks like a great one. The Cam Scadabu pick looks like a great one. But it's another Monday morning that we're sitting here talking about a Giants football team that is 2-7. And that just can't happen. I mean, and, you know, John Mara said it. It didn't mean, you know, John Mara at the end of the year last year, I always bring this up, he didn't give a playoffs ultimatum. He didn't say, you know, you better win the division and these guys are done. All he said was, it was a pretty broad discussion I mean, or set of circumstances where he said, I just need to be feeling better about the team this time next year. And you had that moment, and now it's gone.
It's completely gone. And they did have that moment after they beat Philadelphia, and you know they had won a couple home games, and all of a sudden you felt like Jackson Dart was the guy that was going to – I mean, you're asking a lot from a rookie quarterback. I mean, I don't know how much – Brian Daboll says after the game yesterday, there's no question that he's the leader of the team.
Well, that that right there is telling me that the GM did a horrendous job constructing this team. That.
I mean, like, you know? Guys like Andrew Thomas should be more vocal. I don't know how vocal he is. You never know. Like, you know, I play with Anthony Munoz, one of the greatest players to ever have played the game. And the only time that he ever would really say anything is if you asked him to say something. Like, he wasn't a guy that was – he was just going to go about his business. And if you watched him and you followed what he did, you'd be okay. He would lead by example. Not everybody's a vocal leader, but obviously, you know, Jack – and now what he's doing and what I would be really, really worried about is now he's trying to do everything. Now he's trying to run over people. Now he's trying to run into people. Now he's trying to, you know – jack up the team and make them excited. And he is taking risks that he does not have to take, but he'll learn because, you know, the last thing we want, I want to see him play the rest of the season. I want to see him play out, but I don't want him to get hurt. And, you know, we talked about this about Scadaboo too, the way that he plays. Now, the injury that he had isn't because of the way that he plays. It was a really unfortunate injury. But the way that he plays, to make it through 17 games, to play that way, that physical, is almost impossible in this league. So your two most important players, one is out for the season. The other one is starting to play literally like a reckless, you know, maniac because he wants the fans to love him. He wants to win. I could see it. It's in his heart. And I could see the way that he's playing. But he's taking unnecessary risks, especially late in games. I just, you know, in relation to Joe Shane and Brian and Dable, we have given so much – because we do like the guys. We do believe that, you know, I believe that Brian Daboll knows what he's doing. It's just that this team has completely either shut him out or there's been so many injuries that they can't overcome it. But then you see a team like San Francisco come in. And how many injuries do they have?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a culture thing. It's a, you know, that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan thing. They've dealt with so many injuries over the years, but they still keep pumping guys out, whether it's different quarterbacks that they have to throw in there because of injury or different running backs or wide receivers, and they deal with it.
Just imagine this. If the New York Giants lost Brian Burns and, let's say, Bobby Okereke, because that's essentially what the San Francisco 49ers have lost in Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, amongst other players too, by the way.
Sure.
I mean, and they're still winning. They're still, you know, and Rob Saleh obviously is doing a great job as a defensive coordinator, keeping them in games. And Kyle Shanahan, with a backup quarterback, has been able to win games, and the backup quarterback looks like he could be the starting quarterback. For God's sake, he's playing so well.
Yeah, and with Brian Daboll's tenure, of course, you had Wink there at first, and then they didn't get along. And I'm not saying that was all Daboll's fault. Wink obviously is an interesting guy to deal with. But then they had an opportunity to hire a defensive coordinator. They go with Shane Bowen, and it's just been awful. It's been absolutely awful. And as I've mentioned before, I know there's a lot of Kayvon Thibodeau truthers out there. I'm just not one of them. I'm sticking to the fact that this guy's a number 5 pick overall has been massively disappointing. But all of those big names on defense that you need something out of, you know, Brian Burns is the only one who's consistently giving you something. And I understand that, you know, Abdul Carter is able to get the, you know, the pick out of the air. But that play doesn't happen. You know, that's just a right place, right time. That was all Brian Burns
making
that play.
And the good news for Brian Burns, that was ruled a fumble. Therefore, it can be a sack.
Right.
So it was a sack and a fumble. It wouldn't go down as a sack if it were an interception.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of weird things happening yesterday in the NFL, but none. There are a lot of ugly things that happened in the NFL yesterday, and there are other teams that, you know, are waking up this morning with their fan bases livid at them as well. But, I mean, the Giant fan has every right to be screaming and yelling and expecting more, especially when they raise ticket prices, especially when the parking's, you know, through the roof. And, you know, the fact that, you know, that most Giant fans are now selling their tickets to opposing fans, that tells the owner all he needs to know or all they need to know. Now, I don't know. You know, the situation with John Maris is serious, as we know. I'm assuming that, you know, there's a group of people that are around him that are still, he's got to take care of himself first before he takes care of the football team. I don't know what that dynamic looks like inside that building over there. I don't know if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll maybe feel like, you know, they have this distraction may be so significant that I don't know. I just think they have to move on now. They have to. They can't continue to go like this. And if Brian Daboll were sitting here and he were being paid to give an opinion about what he's looking at, how would he explain what they look like?
I mean, you wouldn't be able to say.
How can you?
You can't. Like, right.
And I watch a lot of these other coaches on these other shows, they're all talking, you know, whether it be Rex Ryan or Herm Edwards or Steve Mariucci. You know, I see all these guys talking about it. And they all know, they're not stupid. They weren't born yesterday. There's a reality that is associated with this business, and it's tied to winning. I don't give a crap what you say. You could get your quarterback, you could get this, you can get that, but it's tied to winning. The first year that Brian was here, the first year that Joe Shane was here, they were celebrated because they got this team to the playoffs.
Yep.
And they unlocked Daniel Jones. You remember that?
Of course. How can I forget to beat the Vikings in the playoffs?
And here we are, 3 years later, and it's only gotten worse. And it's gotten worse for a number of different reasons. But the reality is, over 30 points a game in the last three games, a collapse in Denver, no show yesterday against San Francisco, and now fans are just basically, they've had it. They've had it.
I mean, I hate to say it, too, because we have talked about liking Brian Daboll, liking Joe Shane, wanting them to get another opportunity. He was on board with bringing them back at the end of last year. But there's going to be a lot to be excited about player-wise next year when Neighbors comes back, Scadaboo comes back. It's the second year at Jackson Dart. There's going to be a lot of energy around the roster. But does that Giant fan that we talk about, are they going to be excited if the same coaching staff comes back?
No, right? They won't be.
That's the point.
It's going to have to be a whole new direction, and it's going to have to be somebody that has got head coaching experience that the Giant fan can get behind and that they can respect. You know, if you can do like a 60-40 hiring or a 70-30 hiring, you know, meaning that 70% of the fan base would get behind the coach.
Oh, yeah.
I think you would be able to do that, you know, win with that. The question is now you'd have to, and look, we're halfway through the season and we're already talking about these guys' jobs. But we also were talking about these guys' jobs when we started the year. We talked about what was expected, and you said what John Mara said. And we sit here now and you look at their record, they're 2-7 and have gotten worse over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really bad. Defensively has just been, guys look like they don't even care right now. You know, the worst tackling you've seen in football.
Well, no, the Bengals.
Well, yes. Yeah. Close.
There were two plays yesterday that may have changed some of the game. I don't know. Theo Johnson drops a ball right in his hands. It would have been a first down. And then Darius Slayton has the touchdown ripped out of his hands. I mean, those two plays right there, when they actually were happening, may have given the Giants and their fan base some life. And, you know, Jackson Dart threw the ball perfectly, threw exactly where it needed to be, and the players that he was throwing it to did not come down with the football. And, you know, we watch these games every single weekend, and we see players like T. Higgins making plays, Ja'Marr Chase making plays, Justin Jefferson making plays. I mean, there's guys making plays all over the freaking league.
Well, I mean, their guy is out for the year,
yeah, but
and I don't.
Other guys have a need,
but they're not good enough.
This is the thing that drives me crazy. Like, they've had every opportunity to show that they belong at this level.
Sure,
every opportunity. You couldn't ask for more if you were those guys. If you were the receiving crew and you were the tight ends of the Giants. You have, and Jackson Dart's making plays. He's still making plays, and he's still putting the ball where he's supposed to put it. And all of a sudden, you know, they have forgotten how to catch the football. I'm sure that, you know, in pregame warm-up, they're out there looking good, and they got everything going on. And then all of a sudden, the game starts, and they drop the freaking ball because they're nervous.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like what the issues that they had on offense, I mean, which were not nearly as bad as the issues that they had on defense, where, I mean, you don't like to say that a team is, you know, checking out or stopping playing or whatever, but I mean, towards the end of that game, there was essentially zero effort in tackling. I mean, these guys were getting blown off the ball up front and then not even attempting to make a real NFL tackle. And it just, like, it makes you think, like, what are they thinking? Is the message not getting through from Shane Bowen? Is the message not getting through from Brian Daboll? Is the fact that most of these guys have been on this team for a long period of time and it's another 2-7 season and it's like, well, I just don't have it in me anymore? Like, what is it? But, I mean, how do you completely just mail in a fourth quarter defensively?
This is going to be another 8 weeks of a lot of coaches calling around the league trying to hook on with new teams because it's coming. You could feel it. You feel the change is coming. It's not even, there's not even an argument anymore.
Really.
I mean, I don't care. The Jackson Darkens were for 500 yards every single game from this point on. It's not going to make a difference.
They'd have to essentially win out.
It's not going to make a difference. I mean, let's
be real. If they won out, it would make a difference, but they're not doing that, obviously.
I mean, you know, look, they got to go to Chicago, Green Bay, Detroit, New England. Now, Washington they have on their schedule, and Washington just lost Jaden Daniels late last night. If you didn't see it last night.
Don't see it.
He had a dislocated left elbow. It's not his throwing arm, which is lucky, but I would be surprised if they bring him back at all this year. I mean, that was a...
Well, I thought it was essentially confirmed that he was done for the rest of the year.
I didn't think there'd be any way. And by the way, he was in the game when the score was 38-7.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, and that's one of the things that a bunch of people were saying, including RG3, of course, who's had his fair share injuries in that same uniform. But
horrible. But even like Christian McCaffrey was carrying the ball late in the game yesterday when the game was essentially
Talks about it, really, unless someone gets hurt.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, this would have been an opportunity for the Giants because the Cowboys' defense is horrendous. The Washington Commanders have been bad. Let's face it, they've been bad. And if there was a year where they could at least come in second in their division, this would have been it. And they have already, you know, they split with Philadelphia. I mean, this would have been the year. This would have been the year. And it's, you know, they'll probably win a game or two somewhere along the line, and they'll probably end up with somewhere at a top five draft pick, I would imagine.
Again.
But I don't want this group making that pick.
Yeah.
It's come
to that point.
You can.
It's been long time coming. It's come to that point, and you can't argue. Look,
you've been around here a long time. You know when the Mets are getting ready to fire somebody. You know when the Giants are getting ready to fire somebody. You know when the Jets or the Rangers or the Island. You know it. You know you could feel it.
Yeah, and they had their opportunity this year. They really did. It's not, I mean, it was a full year that I think the Giants and John Mara gave him a fair share evaluation. Go out there and do it again. Now, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were like, listen, well, we got the quarterback. Isn't that the whole thing? To get the quarterback? No. Eventually, you got to start seeing some more wins.
Well, I'll tell you what. New England got the quarterback last year. They fired the coach, and they brought in a new coach, and look what they're doing.
Yep. That is true. And then I always bring up the Bears example as well. They weren't afraid to go out and get. Now, here's the difference, though. Like, those two examples are great examples of how you do it. You go out and get the top offensive mind in a Ben Johnson. You get a guy who's been a head coach before and one of the great offensive coordinators of his generation in Josh McDaniels. You can't just hand the keys over to, you know, first-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator type of thing.
I'm gonna just give you a name just to throw
I mean,
a
name Ben
out
Johnson
there.
Was too, but...
Right. Anyway. I'm going to give you a name, okay? And you just tell me what you think of this name. Because this guy's actually been an NFL head coach before.
Frank Reich.
No, I don't want him here. No way.
Lane Kiffin.
Oh, yes. Although he would be good for Jackson Dart, I know that. But
Lane Kiffin would be the guy I want to take over the Jets, not the Giants.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's the type of guy you need to go in there and shake the whole thing up, you know? There'd be no turning back. And that would be either, you know, all in. It'd be the greatest thing that ever happened to them or the worst thing that ever happened to them. There'd be no in-between. There'd be no mediocrity there. It would just be biggest dumpster fire in Jet history or, like, they're going back to the Super Bowl.
But, you know, he did coach Jackson Dart in college. And he did coach the Oakland Raiders for a couple of weeks or something.
Yeah, which led to the most bizarre press conference in the history of the NFL.
Exactly.
When now, you know, RIP Al Davis sat there with an overhead projector and went through every single reason why he fired Lane Kiffin in front of the media, which was just, I could watch it. Sometimes I do watch that, actually. Once a year, I'll just sit down and watch that press conference.
I just throw that out there just because he was Jackson Dart's head coach. I do not see that happening.
Boomer Esiason advocates for Lane Kiffin.
No, I do not.
WFAN, former NFL morning man. Says Lane Kiffin should be next coach of Giants.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what to say right now. I mean, we talk about it. We have to have words to describe it, man. But I'm just at a loss to explain what has happened to this team in 3 weeks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is about the entire organization, specifically Shane and Dable. There is nothing else that needs to be seen now. He fired his final salvo, going to Jackson Dart. Dart looks great. The team continues to lose. The Giants need to make significant changes this offseason, if not sooner. But that's where I'm at with this team.
Cue the band and start playing taps. It's absolutely over. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted, and I'm no longer doing it. Like, having the conversation, well, if Dart plays well, you know, he can save Dable's job, and even if Dable's job is not saved, well, maybe Joe Shane can stay. Nonsense. It's over, as Sal just said. It is absolutely over. And you know when it's over, because let's face it, guys, we've had a lot of practice identifying when it's over with local football teams. But when you have players, I'm putting the glasses on because it's a bit of a long list here, right? When players start leaving the locker room early and players are questioning everything before they leave the locker room early and franchise icons bashing star players, which is what happened later. And I don't even know if it's bashing, being just very honest about, you know, the Carl Banks, Dexter Lawrence situation last week. Now you have the planes overhead again. You have opposing fans taking over the stadium. The head coach sounds utterly defeated. It's over, man. I mean, there is really nothing else to say. Can somebody please get a towel? Please, and just throw it into the center of the ring to save this pathetic franchise, this once proud, iconic franchise that is an absolute train wreck that nobody believes in. Nobody, they have sucked the life out of the Giant fan, and it is unequivocally over.
And realistically, it should have been over a year ago. And we wanted to prevent this exact scenario from happening. Had they made the decision, like we talked about they should have, based on what they saw for 3 years, Shane and Dable wouldn't have been around. Now, they wouldn't have done this anyway, because even if they did fire somebody last year, it would have been Dable, not Shane, which still would have been a disaster, maybe even worse. Now the hope is that they get both out. And by the way, I'm not even so sure they would. But last year, after seeing them for 3 years fail miserably and get worse as the years go on, they should have fired Shane and Dable and had a new regime pick a different quarterback. Because now they got to pick a quarterback, and while the quarterback is a success and a hit, they shouldn't be around to see this thing through. And now it's a new regime with a quarterback that they didn't select, as good as he might be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are no guarantees he's going to be great. But for those people that are hanging on to, while I know that Dable and Dart can work together offensively, dude, you got to look at everything else. Like, there are no more arguments to be made the other way. And even if they won 8 in a row, which they're not going to, I still don't think they're any good. Like, this is now the third straight season they've started 2-7.
Check.
They went to Jackson Dart. The idea was, imagine, BT, had they tried with Russell Wilson to win some games, and we're here at 2-7, and now they go to Jackson Dart. Like, it was either going to happen week 4, it was either going to happen now. At some point, we were going to get the final evaluation of what Brian Dable and Shane were based on what Jackson Dart was going to be. The problem is, Dart's a hit, but they still continue to lose. I mean, they're 2-4 with them. They're with a rookie quarterback. It's over. That's it. I can't talk about it.
I know. I mean, it's, I really, that's why I said, I mean, get the band, start playing taps. I mean, it's over here. You're right. So the other thing, too, is a lot of, well, not a lot, but some people will still hold on to the notion, which at this point, I believe is laughable, all right? You know, wow, I mean, Jackson Dart, I mean, this relationship with Dable, and do you really want to risk that, you know, maybe regression in year two? Guys, I mean, please, okay. So you look at inherited quarterbacks, right? How the Bears doing right now with a quarterback that nobody really thought was that good, who now suddenly is doing some pretty decent things with a new head coach. How about Drake May with a new head coach? Granted, Vrabel has a track record, but like this thought that you can't disrupt the marriage of Dart and Dable is really some of the dumbest stuff I've ever heard. Jackson Dart, if he's healthy, all right, for the next however many years, is going to be, let's tap the brakes and not say a superstar, but a hell of a player, no matter who's coaching him. Honestly, but I believe that.
But it's not an ideal situation, because you'd rather have a head coach and general manager who selected their quarterback and then develop him the way that they want from year one or whatever year that is, but all together and then move on. So it's not. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have success with Dart. I'm just saying that, like, dude, this was predictable dating back to a year ago. It's not the ideal situation. So I do understand why some people would say, be hesitant to move on from this combo. However, you'd be an idiot to think otherwise.
I don't know who the hell is saying that. If anybody's saying that, please say it louder, because I don't hear it anymore. Here's what we heard about the Giants. When the Dallas Cowboys came in a couple of years ago and just smashed them to smithereens 40-0, that was the night that Andrew Thomas hurt his hamstring. Well, without Andrew Thomas, the Giants can't have a functional offense. Well, guess what, guys? Andrew Thomas is healthy. Andrew Thomas is balling. Giants still stink, okay? And then the other thing we heard was, well, look at all these, look at all the resources we devoted, whether it's draft picks or money, and Burns, God, Burns is phenomenal. But all the things we put on the defensive side, well, why have they given up 30 points three straight games? And, you know, this is when, and I knew it was over before this, but when they got the sack, the fumble, the pick, I know that they changed the call with Abdul-Corey. Well, wound up going down as a fumble. Sack and a fumble, okay? Think about the first play that they ran from scrimmage. I mean, that's a 7-year-old peewee up the middle just to see if the offensive line could snap the ball and do anything in concert. Like, you know, at the lowest level of football, that is a losing play,
right?
Which means that is a losing mentality, which means this is a losing franchise. What you do, you got to know this. Even though the Niners are incredibly banged up and they got the backup quarterback and their O-line is gassed and they're missing three of their best defensive players. What you do at that point, because you know that you're going to have to score at least 30 points to win this game, at least in the neighborhood. You're playing for a three spot. There's a suddenness in football. This is what winners do. This is what dogs do. Wow, bang, we just snapped the field in half. Let's throw it to the end zone. Instead, up the middle, 1 yard. Up the middle, 1 yard. Field goal miss. Basically walk the plank and surrender any chance to win. Guy, I'm going to say this once, because I don't want to have to say this over and over, but I have to, and I know that you feel this way too. This is not personal, man. It is no fun getting on the job, on the air, talking about jobs. Nobody wants to do this, but this is the reality of what we do, because you're not idiots, and you know what you're seeing, and we know that you know what you're seeing, and what you're seeing is a franchise that is dead, that can only be resuscitated by change.
Play calling, horrific. The defensive effort, horrific. But yet, everybody wants to tell me how the Giants last year, like, that was the Giants' narrative. Well, we love the draft from Joe Shane. And my counter last year, and by the way, we don't have to yell and scream, like, I could sit back and say nothing today and just say they're 2-7 for the third straight year. Like, what more do you need me to say? You watch the game, they just got their ass kicked by a depleted 49ers team. It looked like the old Giants. And the excuse is no longer, well, we need a quarterback. Well, we need a quarterback. No, you have a quarterback. You have a quarterback that's very good, and you're actually scoring points. So what's the excuse? You have talent on defense that I was told the Giants drafted well, and then they went out there in free agency and complimented
that. Yeah, they crushed it.
So then why, BT, do they continue to lose football games? Why are they 2-7 again? Why can't they stop the run? Why statistically are they one of the worst defenses consistently? It's not just scheme. Scheme may not be great, but whatever. Some of the scheme, some of the play calling not good. It's also the players. It's also the players' effort. It's everything. You can't sit here with a straight face and tell me that you don't think the Giants could do better than Brian Dable. And at the end of the day, Shane and Dable have gotten a fair shake.
Yeah.
They've gotten 4 seasons, multiple coordinators, multiple quarterbacks. Like, what more do you need to say? They stink! Good God! They can spin it any way they want. Oh, we drafted well. Oh, the new scheme. Oh, no. We need some time. Oh, no, we're hurt. You stink! 2-7's hard to do 3 straight years. I give you credit. How is that possible? To get the doors blown off by a depleted Niners team with Mac Jones as the quarterback with your big bad defense? Please. That is embarrassing. Enough. It's enough. I tried to be fair. We've had this conversation for four seasons with these guys. I was trying to be more than fair and back table as recently as this year with Jackson Dart. I believe that they were going to look different. 2-4 with Jackson Dart as the starter is unacceptable by any measurement possible. And the defense is an embarrassment with guys quitting left and right on plays. That, to me, is a coach thing. It's a player thing. It's both of them. Shane and Dave will have to go.
When you can't stop the run, now, obviously, part of it's born out of scheme, and we'll let others, you know, decipher and sift through that stuff, but you can't stop the run. That is, there's something inherently wrong with your team. When you, I'm talking about the guts and the desire. I know that they want to win, so I don't want to get nuts here. Of course, they want to win. Everybody wants to win.
Coaches want to win. I honestly don't think some of the players.
Well, I was going to go there. Like, there's a fine line between accepting losing and wanting to win, but then there's a third aspect, and that's being incredibly resistant to losing. You know what I mean? Like, I think every pro athlete would like to win. They don't want to go out there and lose and have the, you know, get mocked on social media. But the effort to prevent that from happening is simply not there. So when we're at this point, there's no other recourse. You know, I don't see, although I'm sure we'll get some outliers, a single solitary figure that I can listen to today that's going to convince me that what was just said on this show is out of bounds or factually incorrect or unfair. They are weak. They are disengaged. They are poorly built. They are broken, and they are busted. And the worst part about that, well, really, in a lot of ways, the best part, because now there's nothing nebulous about this, to see those uniforms yesterday, to see the logo, to see the end zone, which looks so glorious, a stark reminder about what the Giants used to be. Until you watch them actually play football.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bradley is in Morganville starting us off. What's up, Bradley?
BT and Sal, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Good. Far too often we've said this, you know, I thought it was going to be different, BT, with Dart taking over, that the Giants were back. I thought this was a very winnable game. Not even that they lost the game, which obviously it's going to be about wins, losses at this particular point. They got their clocks cleaned. After the opening drive, which you felt great, they got their clocks cleaned, so that's a big disappointment here. We'll get back to the calls. But keep in mind, like, there are different types of firings or cleaning house. We wanted the Giants to do it after last year. Okay, maybe that would have been a bit early. I think Mr. Mara handled this one perfectly, meaning that, okay, whether we would have done it differently or not, he at least gave them an extra year. Remember, the Giants have been through this with all the turnover and they want some stability and sticking with it. So he just waited, like a hamstring injury, right? That's how we used to say, like, when I was dating my wife before I got engaged, I would say, like, you got to treat it like a hamstring injury. When you think you're ready to get engaged, just wait a few more weeks, maybe a few more months, and then get back out there. So Mara may have had the inclination to say, these aren't the right guys, or Dable's not the right guy, but let me give them one more year and just see definitively. Let's see what they could do with their quarterback. And they did that, and it's still 2-7. So they waited the proper amount of time, 4 years. Nobody can question, well, it's not enough to evaluate a general manager. Well, it's not enough to evaluate a head coach. Well, they didn't get their own quarterback. They had everything to work with in 4 years, and their record absolutely sucks. That, to me, is a justifiable moving on. This is not a dysfunctional organization thing. It's the right time. They gave them everything they could to work with. They need to move on.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the optics of this really make it worse. So there's just certain things you can't ignore as an owner. That's why, you know, you reference the planes overhead and 45 or 50,000, whatever the number was, 49er fans basically taking over the house, or just the shoddy tackling, which is obviously, I think that's the worst look. When you look at any sports team, right? Whether it's basketball and then you just don't get back on defense, or maybe bullpens in baseball imploding, when a team just doesn't tackle well and just doesn't stop the run, even if they're poorly built, which is a different issue, which is also applicable here, it just seems like there's a lack of want. And when there's a lack of want in a sport like football, you know, you're almost surrendering, even though I know that they're still gladiators and they're not trying to get pushed around. I do get that. But I think from John Mara's point of view here, I think he really was aware, Sal, of the lack of stability. And I think he was very turned off by that because, you know, we didn't want them to look like the Jets, but they do. They do. And I think that, you know, I wouldn't have run it back last year. I'm on the record with that. And I'm okay with him giving it a shot. But now the results are in, the test has been taken, and it's an absolute failure.
Yeah. It's over. It's time to move on. And you talk about the want to, and I'm not trying to pick apart individuals, and I'm not breaking down the old 22. I don't care to. Here's what I care to. The record. Show me the record. I don't want to hear, did you see the double teams? Did you see the stunts? I don't care. I care about the record. 3 straight years, 2-7. Figure it out. Fix it. Everybody's going to get fired because that hasn't been good enough. But there was a play specifically for me that I noticed. I was trying to watch a little more Dexter Lawrence yesterday in real time. Again, I'm not going back watching it. I'm watching the game. And as a matter of fact, I'm watching 4 games at once because the Giants haven't earned the right to be a big screen game. So you're part of the quadrant with the sound on. But the play...
Where are the Jets?
Oh,
the rabbit ears?
Yeah, barely. There was a play at the end of the first quarter where I felt Dexter Lawrence quit on the play.
Okay.
He was getting double teamed and he was pursuing the ball carrier. I think it was Robinson running the football. But he was right there within grasp of at least getting an arm on him, and he didn't do it. And that to me was one play that was okay. And then the Deontay Banks stuff. And this goes back.
Oh my God.
This goes back years with Deontay Banks. So now, do you think, let's say, Bill Belichick or whatever, like pick a good Vrabel? I mean, Vrabel's benching guys for stuff in New England. You think that's an accident? That Vrabel comes in, cleans up Gerard Mayo's mess, and is holding guys accountable, and all of a sudden the Patriots, one of the best teams in football, with similar roster? I mean, it's not an accident. So how could Deontay Banks, A, be drafted, then B, when he is drafted, look like a good player, C, regress completely where last year was a disaster and giving up on plays then, to D, giving up on plays? Like, how could that be allowed to happen?
That's a confounding one. I don't have a direct answer for you, but I would say that that's even more alarming than just drafting a guy who's not good and you realizing very quickly that you drafted the wrong guy. Like, to me, player regression is a worse reflection on a coaching staff. Like, because Banks did pop early. Now, you liked him more than me.
The first year, I liked him.
Yeah, you did. And there was evidence and there was reason to like him a little bit. Not that you went overboard, but you're like, this kid's a player. And I didn't disagree. I think you pointed it out first. And when you kind of see that and then... You know, now there's just like a lack of effort. Now that's, or again, a regression.
Yeah.
Now I've got to look, I got to lift up the hood. And what's going on in the building? What's going on in the meetings? What's going on in the practice field? What's the messaging here? I don't know. But it's evidently not the right one. So, you know, we can try to adjust the lens and try to make this thing look clear. I don't need to. It's as clear as it gets. And the Giants are an absolute mess.
And it shouldn't be accepted, though. In Banks' case, BT, it's on clear display for multiple years. That can't be accepted. And I'll give you an example. Like Drew Phillips. I love Drew Phillips as a player. I don't think he's very good in coverage, but I think Drew Phillips has the want to. He's a fiery physical player, better up in the box against the run, all those different things. Now, again, will we see regression beyond this? Who knows? But sometimes he'll get beat on a play that maybe he's playing out of position or he's just not good enough in that particular thing that the Giants are asking him to do. That's different than not having the effort like maybe Deontay Banks or Dexter Lawrence. And that, to me, is unacceptable. And you're right. I think that's an indictment on the coaching staff.
This is...
talking about lack of effort.
I'm sorry, Sal. Yeah. I mean, it's just... it's brutal. I mean, the fans... I just don't know how there's a Giant fan. And we're going to take these calls. Hopefully there's one. Just I'd like to have the conversation. How do you believe in anything moving forward with this team right now?
Mike is in Oceanside. What's up?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike.
Except. He wants to talk some Giants. What's going on, Case?
Yeah, hey, good morning, fellas. Not a Giant fan, Jet fan, but there's a lot of parodies with how awful football has been around here. The question I have is, what this year makes next year, right? The idea that let's assess this year to have Dable come back, right? He's 20-39 as an NFL head coach. Why would, who's assessing him to bring him back?
Well, I mean, obviously, John Mara, Chris Mara. I mean, the Tishes kind of stay out of the football side of things, but they obviously have an opinion when it affects the business side of things. So, I mean, those are the people who ultimately are going to decide. I mean, not Joe Shane as much, unless he wants to go and shiv his guy, which I don't think that he will, you know. But, I mean, those are the guys that are evaluating it. And at this point, it was they had to do a couple of things this year. They had to draft a quarterback. They had to make it feel like it was the right guy, which those two they accomplished. But there's got to be some wins along the way.
Is it gotten so bad? Has it gotten so bad that, and so desperate here, that the Giants need Bill Belichick?
No. I mean, what's going on down there and the whole, I just can't see it. There was a time we all talked about it and what we saw, but I mean, I just.
Dude, this thing is a mess.
I know it is, but Bill Belichick used to be like the stabilizing factor that would come here and get things right and make sure that every T was crossed and I was dotted and everything. But I mean, now it just kind of adds to.
I felt the same way, you know, when all of this stuff was going on with Jordan and everything. And I felt, okay, this is a weird deal, what happened with him down in Atlanta. But then I see what's happening here. And I see the abject failure that it's once again turned into. And there is no light at the end of the tunnel. So you could put your five guys out there that you think would be guys that would be good coaches for the Giants moving forward. I thought Brian Daboll was going to be a great coach for the Giants. It hasn't turned out that way. You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't put the time and effort in. They all do. It's just that when they're losing and the losing continues, something has to be done. And how bad is the desperation in the building?
Yeah, I mean, you're the one who convinced me that the NFL would not want Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson around.
Under those current circumstances about last year, yes.
But, I mean,
I bet that stuff has calmed down some.
Yeah.
To a point. They won this week up at Syracuse.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that poor kid from Half Hollow Hills West had to start for Syracuse. He was like the fourth string quarterback. He wasn't ready to go in. He's a true freshman.
Don't make excuses. Let's go.
I was a little jacked for that kid. I was happy for him, Filardi, and then it just wasn't. This didn't go very well.
And by the way, East Essa did beat Northport, so your boy Big Hurls owes me a bottle of Casamigos.
Yeah, that's. I know he texted me.
I did. Okay.
He goes, what tequila should I get him? I was like, wasn't the one did he ask for?
Yeah, okay.
It's not that hard to figure out. Conrad and Cherry Hill, what's up, Conrad?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hopefully you guys had a good weekend. Yeah. Yesterday I was at the game, was on the field holding the flag, and first of all, the people at the parking lot wanted me to tell you guys that the Jets are the one that charging $100. The Giants still charge $60. I know we had that conversation a few weeks ago. So okay. They wanted to clear that up for some reason. But so yesterday, looking at the defense, and I think that if Dable do come back, I think that I know he's not going to bring Shane Bowen, and I have a recommendation. I think he needs to go out there and go get Antonio Pierce because he's an old Giant. He knows defense, and when he was a defensive coordinator for the Raiders, I think he had those guys playing motivated for him. And I disagree with Thibodeau. I think that he, you know, Kayvon is good. I just think that the system haven't allowed him to really be the guy that we, you know, that we thought that he was going to be. But when you're looking at that defense yesterday, the one thing that I saw that was very common is the players do not want to play for this defensive coordinator. For a down after down, you could see Burns is looking disgusted, still talking to the sideline, saying, what are we doing? So the stuff that he said a couple weeks ago, that wasn't the case. I know he wanted to clear that up, and he's a good guy, but they do not want to play for him. And I think that this is the reason why Dable is going to lose his job, because, A, the offense looked does not look good at all. And Booms, I wanted to ask you this question. What's the difference between the Buffalo offense and our offense? And the reason why I ask, because you can see Buffalo, they have they got Josh Allen. I know that's a major difference in the key players that they have. But when you look at how that offense is running, we're supposed to be running a similar offense, but ours completely look different. Ours doesn't have any kind of creativity in it, even though we've lost some key players. That is so true.
But I would just say, you're also dealing with a rookie quarterback, so you don't have every play at your beck and call, no matter how good he is. I mean, Josh Allen's in his eighth year. I mean, he's a Superman. And so is Patrick Mahomes, for that matter. 4th and 19. Let's stay out on the field and let's hit a 4th and 19. I mean, you see the poise that these guys have had. And I think, personally, Jackson Dart's going to be fine. He's going to get better and better and better. I just don't want him to play like a crash test dummy.
Yeah, and it's just and I don't want to make the thing about Kayvon Thibodeau again singling him out, but Conrad brought up, how he thinks it's not Kayvon, it's really the problem, but, the system that he's in. When you're drafted 5th overall as a pass rusher, like, did people ever say, Myles Garrett's a beast, but, man, if he was in a different system, he wouldn't be doing this as much? No, these guys, Micah Parsons, T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, these guys come into the league and they dominate.
Joey Bosa.
Yeah, they Nick Bosa more than
Joey.
Yeah,
but Joey yesterday was all over the place.
These guys are like their immediate impact guys. You can't tell me that, Kayvon Thibodeau was anywhere near that.
Well, Kayvon Thibodeau and Abdul Carter both are top 5 picks.
Yeah.
Both are edge rushers. So they've drafted tackles in the first round. They've drafted edge rushers in the first round. Wide receivers in the first round, a quarterback in the first round. I mean, they've done everything that you're supposed to do, when you're trying to build the team. And it just, for some reason, there's such a major disconnect. And I think a lot of it is injuries. There's no question about it. But when you see, Brian Robinson truck Deontay Banks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about as bad a look as there is. And I'm not saying that Brian Robinson's easy to take down. And by the way, I would not want to go in there head first. But that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you got
to
stop him any way you can and not just
go dive at his knees.
Let's go to Tom, who's in Corum. What's going on, Tom?
Good morning, Boomer Geo. Thanks for taking my call. With regards to Brian Daboll, and I don't know if this has been brought up or mentioned or not, because I know the other coach I'm going to recommend or suggest probably had issues. But what about them bringing in John Gruden? I think he's a tough guy. I think he would get everybody all marching on the same line. He's proven. And I just want your opinion on that. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, Tom, if you listened to us at all last offseason, he was the guy that I wanted the Jets to hire. I don't know how bad the lawsuit thing is right now and the sensitivities there. If obviously, which you can't do, throw all that stuff away, then yeah, he'd be a great candidate. But the problem is that's sticking with him and it's not going anywhere. I mean, I think the guy is a tremendous head coach. I think he's a great motivator. I watch all his stuff on Barstool still. I think the guy is amazing, but I mean, both the Gruden and Belichick questions are interesting ones now. I mean, you want to say it's a no-brainer, and maybe the team that decides to throw, caution to the wind and hire one of these two guys gets the last laugh, but there's other organizations that also don't want to deal with that stuff either, like the big press conferences. And does this mean you agree with everything that John Gruden said in the email? And blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just there's a lot of things that go into these decisions.
You know what the Giants need, Gio?
What's that?
They need a needle mover.
Yeah.
They need somebody that's going to move the needle in the right direction. It is. I mean, it's you're still selling a product. Yes, it is a sport. Yes, it is run by, or played by, a group of men that have to come together for a common cause, and hopefully they can believe in each other. Right now, there's very little or no confidence with the Giants. They may win a game or two here or there, and Jackson Dart may be doing something spectacular with a very mediocre receiving core. But, let's face it, there is no confidence that they are going to be able to be with the top 10 teams anytime soon. So if you are a businessman and you're a promoter and you're trying to get people to buy into parking passes and season tickets and sponsorships and suites and everything else, you need a needle mover at the moment. I mean, this is getting to a point where it is with the Jets. I mean, it's the same thing. Now, Aaron's in the middle of trying to figure it out, and maybe he will, and maybe we'll be sitting here next year and they'll draft one of these quarterbacks. And, you know, that will change the whole dynamic nature of that team. But I'm just saying right now, for the Giants, I mean, they need a major needle mover. They can't go down this road again.
Yeah, and with the Jets, and we were talking about it, even though the Giants have been just as bad, if not worse, record-wise, you know, over the last number of years, there's still something about, you know, of course, the Giants, their history, the success, the respect of the Mara family, all of those things that the Jets don't have. I mean, the Giants still have that. So even though the thing has been a disaster for them, like, people don't go, there's no way I'm working for Woody Johnson. They're not saying that same stuff about the New York Giants. So they do have a chance. But I mean, you think about it, most of these guys have been hired around here where both teams have been coordinators that are first-time head coaches. I mean, that's what it's been outside of Adam Gase, right? And I guess Shermer, he had a head coach. He was with the Browns for a little bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, he might have been interim. He might have been the head coach.
Yeah, so like, but other than that, it's been Joe Judge. It's been Brian Daboll. It's been Aaron Glenn. It's been Rob Saleh. It's been Todd Bowles. It's been Ben McAdoo. It's all these coordinators with these first-time jobs here, and they haven't hit on any of them. Not a single one. You know, I mean, Sean McVay hit out in L.A. Kevin O'Connell hit. Dan Campbell hit. Every one of these guys are coming. Kyle Shanahan hit. There's a million coordinators that have hit as head coaches.
But in different cities.
And it never works here.
Just not this city. I don't know what it is about
Rex
these
Ryan
things.
Was the only one. And that's a long-ass time ago now.
Right. But he was a different sort of cat.
Right.
Like, you know, he was the needle mover. And you know what? The Jets and Mike Tannenbaum took a chance on him.
Yeah.
Because they knew that he was bombastic and that he was bloviating and that he was going to go up there. You didn't know what he was going to say in the next press conference. So, and Mike took a chance on him. And it worked out because he brought an energy to that building. Like, he overcame everything. Everything was right. So who is that for the Giants? That's my point. It's not a coordinator.
No, and What does the organization look like, too, at the end of the year? And I know that there's 10% that's being sold to the Koch family, the Maras. And there's a lot of stuff going on, Mr. Mara's health. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's time for a risk. Maybe it's time for a big swing for them. I don't even know if the Jets were even allowed to take a big swing after what happened with Aaron Rodgers and the fact that nobody really wanted to coach the team. But the Giants don't have that. People are going to want to coach the Giants. They will. You know, names will want to coach the Giants.
Yeah, there's a guy down in North Carolina that would want to coach the Giants. Telling you, it's going to get to the point where desperate times call for desperate measures.
I'll tell you right now, he comes here and coaches the Giants, Jordan Hudson, weekly spot over at Geo. I don't care how much it costs. You can take it out of my paycheck. I'll pay her.
Your Giant calls in a couple of minutes, 888-808-1019, and more sound live from MetLife Stadium yesterday. But as I said earlier, I know this from experience. It is very embarrassing when another team takes over your building. It happens to me as a fan a lot with all the teams I root for. And the part of the embarrassment that's the worst, I'm going to come clean right now. I'm going to show you my vulnerability, is when one of my players is asked about it and has to talk about it. That always affects me. Like, whenever the Knicks play the Nets.
The Nets still in the league.
And a Net player's ass, how'd it feel being at Madison Square Garden, Brooklyn? And they make a comment, like, a part of me dies inside.
Right.
So Jackson Dart was put in that situation. Jackson Dart was put on the hot seat. He's in his post-game press conference. He's talking about all the football stuff. But eventually, it is brought up, hey, Jackson, how did it feel playing a home game in which there were more Niner fans there than Giant fans there? Here's how Jackson Dart attempted to answer that question.
That was interesting. I've never played at a home game where I felt like it was kind of lopsided in that department. But, you know, they have a good fan base, and they traveled well.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Mm. Like, I feel uncomfortable for you.
He should have said, I guess our fan base doesn't care. They sold their tickets. That's what I would have said.
And you know what? Can you blame them? When you've got a chance to make some money off 49er fans and the team stinks and they're 3-18 in their last 21 games, you understand it.
Right. And they just travel well. The 49, I mean, because I was down in Texas. I was in SMU for the Miami upset. And on my way back on Saturday night, the airport was all 49er fans. Mm. I was like, man, this is a bad sign.
Yeah.
Because it was 10 o'clock at night and the airport was full a 49er fan.
And I think that you not only have the Niner fans traveling, like you said, I think there's just a lot of Niner fans that live here.
Yeah.
I mean, it just...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both.
Yeah, it's a combo of both.
I think it's a combo of both. It's kind of like the Cowboys. Not as, I think, pronounced, because there's so many more Cowboy fans here, but there probably are a good amount of Joe Montana 70s, 80s 49er fans.
Well, also, I think that the Cowboy fan takes playing at MetLife Stadium for granted because they play here once a year.
Yes.
So you get that crack every year as a Cowboy fan to buy tickets and see your team play. The Niner fan only comes here on average once every 8 years.
Eight longer, right?
Yeah. Sometimes it can be more frequent, obviously, right. But in general, like, you're not guaranteed it more than that. So when the Niners are on the schedule and you're a San Francisco 49er fan living in the New York area, right. No matter the date, no matter the time, no matter the weather, you're like, damn it, I got to be there.
Yeah, let's go. And it was a nice day for a football game. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
That was the first time the Niners fans got to see a game at MetLife Stadium against the Giants. Since 2015.
Because the 2020 game was with no fans?
Yes.
Wow. So think about that.
Right.
That explains it. That's why the Niner fan, even the Steeler fan, the Packer fan, they're not in division.
It's nice, and you can go see New York. In fact, when I drove in today, there were 49er fans walking around down here.
Yeah.
Downtown. So they're here still.
They're why everywhere.
Not? You get a chance to go to New York when it's still somewhat nice. What? I would.
And you got two basketball games tonight.
Of course.
You got the Knicks taking on the Wizards, and that's against the T-Wolves. Let's go to Matt in East Hampton. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're good, Matt. Good.
Hey, so I was at the game yesterday. I wanted to just tell you how miserable it was. Well, you guys were there, you know. But and I had a question for Tiki at the end, too. But, I'm not a rich guy, man. Like, I go to two games a year. I bring my kids every other game, and it's just, it's miserable. I don't know if it was 50-50. It felt 80-20. In every game I go to.
The wrong way, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we could never, from the get-go, we couldn't even get into the game because it was just so many fans, and it's every game is like this. Maybe not that bad. Every game that I go to, and I know it's New York, I know these teams travel well, blah, 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 but it's just, man, it's so and then a 5-hour ride home on top of it. It took me 2 hours to get there, 5 hours home. Ugh, like, geez. I could have put my head through the wall when I got home.
Right. Yeah, last thing you want to do is think about football, the Giants, even though you've thought about it the entirety of your afternoon.
I can't be the only person. I think Matt certainly experienced this. I did the math. I spent more time commuting to and from the game than being at the game.
Did you really?
Yes, I did the math. See, I left my house, and I'm abnormal here. I wasn't going to do the tailgate. I told you that. I'm just going to show up maybe 20 minutes before kickoff, watch the game, and leave. And so I left my house at like 10:45, and between the traffic getting into the parking lot, I didn't walk up to the seat until 12:45.
Yeah, so I beat your seat. Yeah.
So it was a good hour 45 of being in my car.
Right.
Then when I left, and I admit, I left early. I left for the mathematical test. Once I knew it was mathematically over, I left. I sat for so long getting out of the lot that it took me about 2 hours to get home.
Oh.
Well, 2 hours plus an hour 45 is 3 hours and 45 minutes. I sat at the game for right around 3 hours. So I spent more time commuting than I did watching.
Right.
And
now,
I'm
obviously at the game a lot longer. My commute was cake. It took me 30 minutes to get home.
Yeah, you're in a different spot.
But I wait until 6 o'clock.
You also live a lot closer.
True.
And but you're not dealing with the traffic.
There is no traffic. There's nobody. Even though we were still 49er fans tailgating when I left, it's 6 o'clock.
Look at that.
Oh,
God. I mean, we're having a good time.
What else are you going
to
do?
Nah, you're right.
6 o'clock. It's dark as hell. It feels like it's 9. But
you know why that makes a lot of sense, too? If you're not rushing home, why would you want to sit there?
Right.
Like
in the car.
Dude, I sat there for so long. If I wasn't rushing home to my wife and kids, I'd just have a catch in the parking lot for an hour. Like, why the hell not?
Right.
How about you? How was your commute there, Shawnee?
I walked in my house, turned on the television, and 90 seconds later, Carrie Underwood was on it. So you do the math.
Wow. Now, he also did a podcast after.
I did. I went to another location in Jersey to do Talking Giants, but I don't think it's safe. Like, I sat there 45 minutes, did a podcast. I think I would have just been sitting in the car going another route.
But I'll tell you, this is why the Giant fan says, I'm going to sell my tickets. The team sucks.
Right. It's not worth the traffic.
It's not worth it. Mm. Like, it's worth it when your team is good and they're entertaining right. and you're winning. And you say, yeah, I spent more time in my car. Big deal. I was honking the horn out of excitement. But when you watch that kind of mess, it's tough to not be motivated not to sell it to a Packer fan.
It's not fun.
Yeah. And I say Packers because you'll see him at home in a couple of weeks.
Right.
Let's go to Brian in Northport. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure.
So a couple of things, if you got a minute. I told Tommy, I want to thank Dabo and Shane, truly, for getting us Dart, Gadaboo, and Burns. And that's about it. Because that's about all they're going to hang their hat on when they're gone. And I know they're going to have to finish out the year. You know, that is what it is. But it's in a weird way, does it feel like Dart, you know, he was supposed to be Dabo's savior and kind of became his grim reaper. I feel like he's kind of costing him his job because he was supposed to be able to do something with him. And it's clear that he can do it without Dabo. I'm confident in that you bring in a new head coach, he's going to be even better.
That's interesting.
Yeah, if you look at that,
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Sorry, the press conference, I can't watch anymore. I'm so glad these two guys won. Did you hear the guy say when he walked in, are you crying to Dable?
Yes. In fact, I want to play that right now because I cannot get over that. But before that, would you want to answer what he said?
Yeah, now I'm forgetting what
I forgot what he said, though.
No, it's not what he said. I forgot what I was going to say.
What he said?
No, it was about Daxon Dart and surviving a new coach.
Yeah, it was interesting that Jackson Dart is proving he doesn't need Brian Dable.
Right.
Well, who's our caller's point.
I don't know if he's proving that. But you just get the sense that he'll be okay if somebody else comes in. It's not going to ruin him if a new system gets introduced.
Completely agree. Because that's been the biggest defense of keeping Brian Dable. I hear Big Mac say it all the time in the overnights.
Yes.
Which is... I think that when you watch this kid play quarterback... I'm sorry, Big Mac. You know I love you. I think I'm going to see him because I think he's filling in for Keith this week. So I think that's what's going on. I heard that... Other people were doing the overnight, so I texted Big Mac, are you going to Disney World? And he was very confused. He said, no, I'm working. See? That's why my imitation is good. Anyhow, Big Mac will be doing nights this week. Keith will be back in a week. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Do you watch Jackson Dart? Does anyone watch Jackson Dart and say, oh, my God,
right.
I can't mess with him by getting rid of Brian Dable?
No, you don't.
No one thinks that.
No.
Now, as far
and that's
as
not a knock on Dave's, it's just the reality of Jackson Dart.
It's a reality of Dart. I agree. Listen to this question for this was so freaking weird, and I'm glad our caller brought it up. Here is, and I think it's Pat Leonard because I feel like I can tell the Giant beat reporters apart based on the vitriol in their question. Here's Pat Leonard, I think taunting Brian Dable and saying, "Hey, are you crying?"
Brian, are those tears of emotion, or is that just... Oof, give.
Is it what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you're saying. You walked in here, it looked like there were tears coming out of your eyes.
No, not just allergies.
No, it wasn't tears. The whole press conference is, you know, hard-hitting football questions.
Uh-huh.
And then Pat Leonard's like, hey, little bitch over there. I'm just kidding, he didn't say that.
Are you crying?
Are you crying?
There's no crying in football.
And you could hear the offense that Dable took to the question.
He's like, what?
What?
What are you
what
even
did you
talking
say?
About?
Am I crying?
You want to go out back and fight?
It'd be more entertaining than Giants secondhand football right now. Right.
Fair point.
Yeah, so why was Brian Dable crying yesterday, Teague? Was he emotional about the game?
He said he wasn't. I didn't see him. I was in the booth. So I have no idea. But I can't imagine Dave was crying.
I reanalyzed the press conference. And so his eyes, I will admit, were a tad red. But I think there's a really good chance that he's just really freaking tired. Mm. Or has allergies.
Right.
I don't think Brian Dable was telling his team, like, bawling.
Or went back in the coach's room and just toked one for a nice long drag.
That's good.
Now I can come out relaxed.
Yeah.
He did seem relaxed, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think I'm right.
All right. Maybe a little bong rip? Who knows?
Whatever.
So he smoked a doobie before the press conference. And Pat Leonard confused that with him crying. This is the state of the Giants, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. The hard-hitting questions. Are you crying?
Also, it's early November. Maybe I'm just like, maybe it's a fat guy thing. You don't get, like, you're a pug, like, wet face. You know what I mean? Where your eyes get red, you're outside, the wind burn, all that stuff, and you get a little teary and snotty-eyed. I get that all the time on the weekends when I'm outside for too long.
No, I'm with you. This is one of those rare defenses of Brian Daboll. I mean, right. He probably we all still agree he's probably going to be gone at the end of the year. He's not a very good football coach right now. But no. Pat Leonard, he wasn't crying after he lost to the San Francisco 49ers.
He was smoking a doobie.
Can I just ask also if you're Pat Leonard, what's the follow-up if Dave's goes, yeah, of course I was crying.
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, right. And where does that go? So that's the point. What's the point of asking?
Yeah,
right.
It creates a situation where Pat Leonard is now bullying.
Right. Like my pet cricket died. Sorry.
That would have been an answer. Because like pet cricket is probably the best answer. Because if you say dog or cat, we're all going to feel awful.
Right. You get on a long, you make up a story. You know, I took my kids down to Alabama. You know, I used to coach there. We won a national championship. And I don't know if you've ever been to Tuscaloosa, but there's a lot of woods, especially on the way down there. And sometimes at night, it just gets really, really quiet. But then you start to hear the crickets. The legs, you know, they're cursing against each other and they're making the sound. And sometimes if you really listen to it, it is beautiful. It is unbelievable. I took my daughters down there and they loved the football game, but at night they fell in love with the crickets. So you know what I did? I went and bought them a cricket and it was amazing. The cricket was beautiful. It was friendly. They even named them Jiminy. Well, I mean, I know we lost this game, but Jiminy died today.
That's a tough answer.
I'll tell you, Leonard would have no response to that.
That's why I'm crying, Pat.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Thank you. I'm out.
That's a good one. John is in Staten Island. What's up, John?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.